Shmendra Paul is the program manager of the information sharing environment. And Shmendra, you are introducing Project Interoperability. Tell me what it is and tell me about the information that you're placing on the Project Interoperability website that we're linking to at federalnewsradio.com.
Well, thank you, Francis, and I'm glad to have this opportunity to chat with you. We're really excited about Project Interoperability. We launched it last week at our fourth workshop on information sharing and safeguarding standards, otherwise known as Standards Palooza. We did that with our partners in the Standards Coordinating Council. And I'll talk more about that later on, but that's key. It's partnering with international standards organizations, public-private collaborations, industry associations. So the information we've put into Project Interoperability really reflects the greatest information sharing hits of the information sharing environment, a distillation of our interoperability frameworks in a mission-agnostic way. Really, what we're trying to do is identify and isolate the best practices and lessons learned and make sure that we're tying those to existing bodies of knowledge in the standards community, with industry, more broadly, and make it accessible to folks and continue to improve and use them.
You mentioned this is you've been at this for a while. How far down the road to standards would you say you are?
Well, that's a great question. And we think that we've made a lot of progress. You know, in the decade plus since the tragic events of 9/11, we're doing a lot better as a government, a whole of government, with our state and local partners, with the private sector on sharing information. When it comes to the standard side of things, we also think we've done a lot of good work, but we think there's a lot more work to do. You know, I think about interoperability the same way folks think about search on the internet, right? There's always room to do better, right? When, you know, there's generations of approaches and capabilities. So it's the same thing with information sharing. As long as the threat is evolving, as long as there are people involved, as long as technology is advancing, there's always opportunities to do better.
You have 10 tools that you list as the top tools for building information interoperability. Common Profile, Springboard, Architecture Alignment, Maturity Model, Reference Architecture Template, Attribute Exchange, Identity and Access Management, Exchange Patterns, National Information Exchange Model, NEEM, which we're familiar with, and the ISC Standard Specifications Framework. Why are those the top tools? Because you and I have talked before, those aren't the only ones that are out there.
No, there's a lot of tools. Really, these are distilled out of our practitioners and, you know, what's actually being used by key stakeholders across the ISC. Now, the ISC is huge, and we don't have complete visibility over what every agency is doing. And there's a lot of other tools that are out there, but these are the ones where at the core of the coalition that's working to in the agencies, federal, state, local, in the private sector, that are working to accelerate the development of the ISC, this is where we've had the most energy and the most action. We expect that list of tools to increase. We expect the list of tools to mature and evolve under the auspices of the Standards Coordinating Council, again, being practitioner-driven. Right? So it's not about these tools for their own sake. It's about the tools being in use and, you know, a community of folks around these tools, advancing them, using them, and improving them.
What's the tell me more about the composition, the mission of the Standards Coordinating Council, the people who are involved, and so on.
Yeah, we're really excited about the Standards Coordinating Council. It's open government in action. We really see it as a you know, an exemplar for a public-private collaboration. So we have certain authorities based on our enabling legislation that allow us to build partnerships with non-federal players, something called a FACA exemption, Federal Advisory Committee Act, you know, that usually governs how folks work with non-federal players. So we have an exemption to that. That's not an exemption from the ethics rules and things like that, but it's just, you know, in terms of how you organize. Well, so we've used that exemption in consultation with, you know, the appropriate folks, to establish the Standards Coordinating Council underneath the Interagency Policy Committee that I co-chair, the Information Sharing and Access Policy Committee that I co-chair with the White House National Security Council staff. The members of the Standards Coordinating Council include international voluntary consensus standards organizations like the Object Management Group, Open Geospatial Consortium, OASIS, public-private collaborations like ACT-IAC, industry associations like FCEA, IGIS, AFEI, government standards organizations like the NEAM Program Office, the Global Standards Council, which is underneath the Global Justice Information Sharing Initiative, which is the Department of Justice's advisory committee, working with state and local law enforcement and public safety entities. And most recently, the NIST Identity Ecosystem Steering Group that's supporting the work of folks that are building out the NSTIC vision, the National Strategy for Trusted Identities in Cyberspace. So it's a pretty broad swath of players. They're all a little different. They've all come together under their own steam and, you know, see themselves inside the President's National Strategy for Information Sharing and Safeguarding. And at the Standards Coordinating Council, we do that. Exactly that. We coordinate. It's a strategic coordination body. Folks are, you know, the work of developing information sharing and safeguarding standards, aligning existing standards, that all happens in the forums of the member organizations. At the SAC level, we're providing, you know, kind of a strategic coordination view.
Shmendra Paul is the program manager of the Information Sharing Environment. Shmendra, the website says the goal of Project Interoperability is to help government and non-government organizations identify a baseline of terms, tools, and techniques to connect networks and systems. And that's kind of what we talked about earlier about standards. It says we aim to be architecture agnostic, and we're trying to normalize the way information sharing technology is developed. Why is that architecture agnostic piece so important? I've heard you talk about that before.
Yes, we work in the white space. We work between agencies, between federal and non-federal entities. And the goal is not to get inside an agency and tell them how to architect their internal enterprise architecture or their internal systems. No, we have to accept as a given a world that's heterogeneous, that folks are building using different architectures, different architectural frameworks. The only given here is the, you know, mission imperative to share information responsibly across that white space. So a big focus here has been to be enterprise architecture agnostic, not to mandate a specific approach. Now, we very much align with the common approach out of OMB, but also many other architecture approaches. Again, because, you know, we don't think it's wise, and we frankly are not in a position to mandate a certain approach. It's also mission agnostic, right? Because it's all about best practices for a certain class of responsible information sharing challenges. So we see that today, that a lot of folks are using ISE frameworks and tools across a variety of different problem spaces well outside of our core mission. You know, an example of that is the human services area. They're using ISE tools. Another interesting example is between public safety and public health around prescription drug monitoring programs. A big problem, a big national public policy problem, and you know, I'm glad that we're able to, you know, provide some help there.
Shmendra, I give you some praise. You're very brave, and you are taking information and taking comments from all over the place. You have marks at the top and bottom of each page that say help improve this content, and you have information there how folks can do it. How do you ascertain that you're getting information from people who are qualified to really improve the content rather than some numbskull like me who might come on here and try to add something without anything of value to add?
Well, you're not a numbskull, Francis. So,
well,
you know,
you're very
kind. I welcome your input. But this goes back to the key role of the Standards Coordinating Council, right? We really are accepting or encouraging folks to participate directly, right? We want to operate transparently. It's a key open government idea. But really, we see the members of the Standards Coordinating Council, and more specifically, the forums within the members of the Standards Coordinating Council, as the place where decisions are made about where to go forward. So we're casting a wide net. We actually find that there, a lot of folks have good ideas, different perspectives, and we want to integrate all that. But we also, the government is transparent, should be transparent, should be participatory, should be collaborative. So we're following through on all three of those ideas, and they all play together to help us make sure we get to the best possible place. You know, these bodies of knowledge, best practices, lessons learned, it's critical that, you know, as we embrace those, we do the work outside the four walls of government. We do the work in these open forums. And that's the essence of open government, and we've embraced it.
What specifically do you want people to contribute to improve the content, and does that vary depending on who the person is or the kind of group that they represent?
It'll vary. Some people will contribute by, you know, commenting directly on the tools, but we think that the biggest source of potential value add, growth, use is folks actually trying these tools out, trying to put them to use, and then feeding back their practical experience. It's critical, and you know, that we keep this link, that this stuff is practitioner focused. This isn't an R&D activity. It's very much practitioner focused. You know, we make the distinction between communities of practice, which are these horizontal, best practice focused groups of folks, and we think that they need to be anchored in places like international voluntary consensus standards organizations, and communities of interest that are focused on solving a specific responsible information sharing challenge, where, you know, they need to be anchored on the agencies or private sector entities that have the mission need to share. We see the intersection between these two groups, the communities of interest and communities of practice, being particularly fertile, and a focus of ours is to manage those intersections and to gradually mature them up. And, you know, so that's the thing that we think will drive the most value here, is folks, you know, taking the car for a spin and giving us some feedback that way.
What else do you want people to know about Project Interoperability, Shmendra?
We rattled off a large list of participants in the Standards Coordinating Councils. Many of your listeners are active in those associations. The place where we're doing most of the work here is in the forums of those member associations. So I encourage folks to plug into those public-private collaborations, international voluntary consensus standards organizations, industry associations. If your listeners are members of federal agencies, a very large number of federal agencies are working to implement the President's National Strategy on Information Sharing and Safeguarding, the 16 priority objectives. Plug into those working groups, and really the key here is a broad-based activity. You know, the collaboration is key.